Last week, two Indigenous men from Arnhem Land lodged a complaint with the Human Rights Commission, stating that the Australian Electoral Commission indirectly discriminated against them. Matthew Ross and Ross Mandy have alleged that requiring people to have a street number and postal address, as well as the lack of time that some polling booths are available, discriminates against Indigenous Australians in remote communities. Indigenous Australians have a lower electoral turnout rate than other groups, and with a federal election less than 12 months away, the question remains as to whether all Australians are able to have their say in their democracy.
Well, every time there's an election, I travel around the Northern Territory bush, helping Indigenous people in remote communities to enrol to vote. And I've witnessed firsthand the great difficulty Aboriginal people have in these communities to be able to vote.
Thomas Mayer, National Indigenous Officer at the Maritime Union of Australia, is not surprised by this complaint made against the Australian Electoral Commission to the Human Rights Commission last week.
Electoral Commission since 2012 has had the power to use trustworthy records such as Centrelink or driver's licences to enrol a person to vote or to update their details. And so their policy is not to do that in these communities unless a person has a personal postal box, which counts a lot of people out. The policy must begin from a place of ignorance to what happens in communities, right?
Graham Orr, Professor of the Law of Politics at the University of Queensland, explains how the Electoral Commission has considered addresses previously.
The AEC has got this mindset that address has to be a physical place where you can be located. And the law doesn't say on it exactly that they have to interpret it that way. But you can see why they don't want to open up a Pandora's box of having addresses that are nothing more than, I live beside this beach.
Now, this complaint, in part, argues that such a requirement for a direct address is indirectly discriminatory.
The only way to avoid any arguments about, what is an address, where does someone live, is basically you just had one electorate for the whole country. But once you start dividing it up into seats and districts, which is the Westminster tradition, then you have to start being able to say it's important that we know that this person actually lives inside this electorate and this subdivision. So Indigenous populations don't map neatly onto our straight lines from 1900, they cross right throughout what we might call remote Australia, especially all the way from the top end right through to the central deserts.
Thomas Mayer also notes that this complaint is concerned with the issues regarding resources, such as how available early voting is to those in regional and remote communities.
The ballot box is only spends a short amount of time in those communities. I've been there myself. I've followed the Electoral Commission volunteers around as they do the mobile polling. And in some communities, there are very few people from those that are actually enrolled to vote in the area that make it to the ballot box.
Almost one-third of Indigenous peoples in the Northern Territory are not enrolled to vote in elections, a rate that is 10% lower than the national average of Indigenous enrolment. Graham Orr believes that this overall lower rate of Indigenous enrolment in voting is due to multiple factors.
Up until 1984, Indigenous people didn't have to enrol, so they were treated differently. The assumption was that there were plenty of people who were still living, quote-unquote, nomadically, who were living outside, if you like, the white economy, and so they weren't forced to enrol. Since 1984, everyone has to enrol, but there's lots of reasons why some people don't enrol, can't enrol, or don't want to enrol. So it may be that you reject the white system, so you don't want to be forced to be admitting sovereignty, in effect. It may be language issues. It may be cultural issues in relation to your family or that particular polity. But we shouldn't be making it hard for people to enrol simply because they don't have a street address.
Graham Orr explains what making a complaint to the Human Rights Commission involves and could potentially lead to.
The complaint would hope that the Commission finds that these rules are unreasonable in having a disparate or undue effect on Indigenous voters. And it doesn't matter whether it's 10 voters or 100 voters or 1,000. And then the Commission, in that finding, would be saying to the Electoral Commission, look, you've given us your reasons, resources or whatever, but there must be a compromise. Now, I think this complaint's a good one because it's a way of putting pressure on the Electoral Commission to come to some sort of compromise. And even if it doesn't succeed in that regard, it may put some pressure on Parliament to, again, provide a specific rule that would provide better allowance for at least remote populations, whether they be Aboriginal or not.
For Thomas Mayer, ensuring Indigenous Australians have access to the ballot is about the importance of democracy as a means of holding leaders and elected officials to account.
When we consider the gaps in health, you know, the disproportionate incarceration, the housing crowding and lacks of funding that makes it into these remote communities, all of these things are decisions of ultimately of parliamentarians, members of parliament, in a democracy. The way we hold decision makers to account is ultimately at the ballot box.
Thomas Mayer, National Indigenous Officer at the Maritime Union of Australia, ending that report.